part of your life. So let's look at every part here of Abraham's life that this test touched and impacted, to know that when you face tests, here's what it will impact in your life. Notice first, Abraham's will was tested. His will was tested. We read verse 1, let's go to verse 2. So he said, "Here I am," and he said, God said to him, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Now here's the test. Abraham is told to take his only son Isaac that he loves and offer him as a sacrifice to God. And what you read about in verse 3, it says, "So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him." And so immediately after he hears God's command, he sets out the next morning to accomplish what God told him to do. Now the question for us as we are at this part of the story is, would we have done that? Or would we have felt the need to, "Lord, I need to pray about that first"? Abraham just simply says, "Yes, Lord. Here I am, Lord." And he leaves. You know, God often tells us things to do that we don't always understand why he's asking us to do it. And he just wants us to say yes. Our response in life to the call of God ought to be that of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 16, that says, "I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments." That ought to be our hope and our desire each and every day, that we ought to not want to delay to keep the commands of God. So Abraham, who we know from the scripture is referred to as a friend of God, submits his will to the will of God. Now, we don't have to understand everything that's going on at this point. Some people, when they look at that, they think, that's a loving God asking him to offer. I mean, that's brutal to offer your son as a burnt offering on an altar. You don't have to understand all the details at this point, but you'll see as we go through the story why God does what he does. Sometimes when God asks us to do things, we don't understand why he asks us to do it at the time, but many times after you come out on the other side, you begin to see, oh, okay, that's what he was doing in my life. Now, Abraham's intellect was tested also here. That's where we want to go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17 down through verse 19 again. So remember what chapter 11, verse 17 through 19 said. "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." So God is testing not only Abraham's will, but his intellect also. What God was asking Abraham to do from a human perspective appeared to be totally illogical. Why in the world would you do something like that? Why would a loving God ask somebody to do something like that? And from the beginning of God's call on his life, Abraham had been told always that he would be the father of a great number of descendants. And his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And these promises were given while Abraham and Sarah were childless. They were barren. They couldn't have any kids. They were older in their years. They were almost 80 years old here. Naturally speaking, the likelihood of them having children wasn't good. But then, by God's blessing, Abraham and Sarah had a son, and they named him Isaac. Now, here is Isaac, and he is the child of promise. He's the one that God has been speaking to Abraham all his life, telling him, this is the one who the promise is going to come through of the great number of descendants as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Then when God blesses, hear this child of promise, the one whom through whom all the promises of God of many descendants would be filled, everything mentally, everything thinking-wise, intellectually, in his intellectual sense, to Abraham, seemed to start falling in place. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now we see how this can happen. Now we see how all these descendants can come. Because remember, they had tried before when they weren't having any kids, and they were thinking, we're getting up in years. How is this promise going to be fulfilled? Maybe we're to just take things into our own hands, fix it ourselves, which is what we try to do, and make things happen. And that's where they got into trouble when he had a child by Hagar. But here now Isaac's born. Everything intellectually begins to fall into place. Abraham begins to raise that son, Isaac, with that expectation. Given his own advanced age, he knows it's not going to be long before I pass away. Isaac's going to begin the fulfillment of God's promises. I can lay down and die, and I know it's going to be okay now. The promise is going to be fulfilled. Isaac's going to be the father of many descendants. But then, on an intellectual level, the whole thing seems to fall apart. Because when Isaac was in his late teens, early 20s, everything was on track for the fulfillment of the promises. And God comes to Abraham and tells him, Abraham, here's what I want you to do. That one that I gave you as the promise, I want you to take him and offer him as a sacrifice. That must have been and would be for us incredibly difficult for Abraham to put the pieces of the puzzle together in his mind. It doesn't make sense. How does this piece fit with this piece with this piece? So his intellect is tested. Notice his emotion is also tested. Our emotions would be tested at this point also. Because as you look back to Genesis here in chapter 22 and verse 3, it says Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God told him. It's one of the most difficult things we could imagine being asked to do, to take one of your own children and offer them as a sacrifice to God. What would Abraham tell his wife Sarah? God told me to do it. I mean, that wouldn't make any sense. How believable is that? But understand this, God was not after Isaac. We know the rest of the story. God didn't want Isaac to die. So you may think, well, then why ask him to offer him as a sacrifice? Well, he would never learn the lesson here. He would never grow in his faith as he trusts God, knowing that God is able to do whatever. So understand this. Know that God's not after Isaac. He doesn't want Isaac to die. Who is God after? God is after Abraham. He's after Abraham's heart. That's what God wanted. He wanted all of his soul. He wanted all of his mind. He wanted all of his strength. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us. He wants our heart. If you're going to grow in your faith with the Lord, you've got to surrender everything in your life to him. Notice the trial here now of Abraham's faith in verse 4 down to verse 9. The first thing I want you to see that we need to do in the trial of Abraham's faith that we can learn is to focus on promises, not explanations. We want an explanation. Why, Lord, did you tell him to do this? This seems absurd. It seems incredible. Why would you tell him to offer this child as a sacrifice? Here's what you need to do is focus on the promises, not the explanations. Go back to verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. Right there, just in that one statement, you begin to see Abraham's faith. Abraham says, first and foremost here, I want you guys to stay here with the donkey. And me and the boy, me and Isaac, we're going to go together, and we're going to go over there, and notice what he says is going to happen. We're going to go over there, we're going to worship, and what's he say? We're going to come again to you. Focus on the promises, not the explanations. You know, our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable. Until he asks us to do what seems, from our perspective, unreasonable. And until he expects what seems impossible, is our faith really truly tested. So whether you look at Joseph in prison in the Old Testament, or Moses and Israel when they come to the Red Sea, or David when he's hiding from Saul in the cave, or Jesus at Calvary, the lesson is always the same. We live by promises, not by explanations. Think about how unreasonable God's request was. Notice here. Here was Isaac was Abraham's only son at this moment. And the future of the covenant rested on him. Isaac was a miracle child, the gift of God to Abraham and Sarah in response to their faith. And Abraham and Isaac, or Abraham and Sarah, loved Isaac very much. And they had built their whole future, their whole life, centered on Isaac. When God asked Abraham to offer his son, he's testing Abraham's faith, his hope, and his love. It looked like, from Abraham's perspective, that he's wiping out everything that Abraham and Sarah had lived for. Notice this, when God sends a trial to us, you know what our response usually is? Why, Lord? Why? And then why me? Right away, we want God to give us explanations. Now, of course, we know that God has reasons for sending those tests, those trials into our lives. Maybe it's to purify our faith. Peter talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 through verse 9. He says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. There again is what we're studying about in the book of Romans, the glory of God. It's all sometimes a test is to purify our faith. Maybe sometimes that test is to perfect our character. James talks about that in James chapter 1 and verse 2 down through verse 4. When he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So sometimes those tests, those trials, are to perfect our character. Sometimes those tests and those trials are maybe to protect us from sin. 2 Corinthians, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 down to verse 10, he says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, he said, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul said, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses. I am content with insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. But all too often, we fail to see how those things apply to us. Abraham heard God's word, and the scripture tells us there in verse 3 that he immediately obeyed it by faith. He knew that God's will never contradicts God's promise. That's something we need to learn in our hearts and our lives. Listen to that again. God's will never contradicts God's promise. So he held on to the promise in Genesis 21 and verse 12, for through Isaac shall your offspring be named. God said that, so Abraham has to walk by faith in that